Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host today, and I'm glad that you join me, and I hope you'll stay with me for the next few minutes as we spend time in God's Word this morning. We are going to be continuing our study of the Old Testament in 2017. At this time, we are in the Psalms, and today we are going to consider three of the Psalms, Psalm 132, 133, and 134. And I hope you'll stick around for that study this morning. I hope that you'll have your Bible ready, and I hope that if you are driving this morning in your car, then I hope you'll just listen in. And so we'll get to that in just a few minutes, but before we do want to remind you of a few things coming up and going on, and one of those is coming up in just a couple of weeks, and that is Polishing the Pulpit, this national event that is held in Sevierville, Tennessee. You can go to the website for polishingthepulpit.com. The dates are August 18th through the 24th. There'll be 3,000 to 4,000 people there. It'll be a great event. There is classes for everyone. We hope that you'll be making plans to attend this great event in Sevierville, Tennessee. I also want to remind you of a couple of other events. One of those is here in Mount Vernon, Texas, the home of the Gospel Radio Network. And we want to make you aware of our upcoming Family Vacation Bible Series. That is going to be August 10th, 11th, and 12th. This will begin on August the 10th. The theme this year is The Power of God. Brother Chip Horton has organized a great event for your children and also the edification of adults. On Thursday, beginning at 6:30 to 8 p.m., it will begin as the children study the power of God. The speaker for the adults will be Brother Kevin Cawley from New Boston, Texas. Friday night will also be 6:30 to 8. The children will have classes and crafts and fun, and the speaker for the adults will be Brother Andy Baker. This will be from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And then our series will conclude on Saturday the 12th, Saturday morning from 10:30 until noon. And after that, there will be a hot dog lunch for everyone. And that is the Power of God Family Vacation Bible Series here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. For more information, you can reach us at 903-537-4129. Ask for Brother Chip Horton. The Mount Vernon Church of Christ is located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. Also, we remind you that our summer series for 2017 is also still going on. And coming up this coming Wednesday, August the 9th, we'll be over the book of Hebrews chapter 10 with speaker Jeff Blanton from Fulbright, Texas. August 16th, Hebrews 11, speaker Phil Hancock from the Broadway congregation in Tyler, Texas. August 23rd, Hebrews 12 with brother Brian Burdeau from Caddo Mills, Texas. August 30th, Hebrews 13 with brother Neil Thurman from the University Congregation in Tyler, Texas. And our series will conclude September the 6th with Brother Dan Baum from the Beacon Congregation in Gunbarrel City, Texas, as he brings a summation of our study of the book of Hebrews. And so we hope you'll attend this if you're in the area. Again, located at 708 West Main Street in Mount Vernon, Texas. You can call 903-537-4129 for more information. Okay, at this time, we want to turn our attention to God's Word this morning. We're going to begin with Psalm 132. Psalm 132 has the heading of the eternal dwelling of God in Zion, and this is a song of ascents. Psalm 132. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. Surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes, or slumber to my eyelids, until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. Behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. For your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. It is almost certain that this psalm was sung by the multitudes when the ark was moved from the threshing floor to the temple in Jerusalem. It was a season of spiritual joy, the greatest that had ever occurred in Israel's national history. The context of this psalm has to do with the building of the temple in Jerusalem and God's conditional covenant with David. The psalm begins with David's covenant with the Lord in the first 9 verses. Verse 1, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. David's desire was for a central place to worship God. David's life was characterized by affliction. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. Verse 2, how he swore to the Lord and vowed to the Mighty One of Jacob. David's commitment here is promised. Notice how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the Mighty God of Jacob. Verse 3, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not sleep till my eyes or slumber to my eyelids. David's priorities were towards the Lord. Notice he said, surely I will not go into the chamber of my house, nor go up into my bed. He would not rest. He would not sleep. He would not slumber until he could fulfill his commitment. Until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Mighty One of Jacob. David's desire and his goal was to establish the central place to worship the Lord. He said, until I find a place for the Lord. He was not going to take rest until he could find a habitation for the God of Jacob. Verse 6, behold, we heard of it in Ephrathah. We found it in the fields of the woods. We see David's discovery of the Ark of the Covenant. They had searched for it and tracked it throughout the land. And behold, they found it in the fields of the woods in Ephrathah. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. He wanted to travel to it and to worship in the Lord's presence. Let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. The call is for the Lord to dwell in the temple. He said, arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you in the ark of your strength. He called for the priest and the people to do the right thing. The priests were to be clothed in righteousness, and the saints were to be shouting for joy. And David and the Lord, we see in verses 10 through 12, we see God's covenant with David. Verse 10, for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. This covenant would be based upon God's unchanging promise to David. The Lord has sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. You see, there is a condition to this covenant, and it is based upon the obedience of the sons of David. Notice verse 12. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. And so if they're obedient, and of course that is the key, the obedience of David's son, but if they would be obedient, verses 13 through 18 give us the promise of prosperity if they will keep their end of the covenant. God had chosen Zion. 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. God had promised to bless Zion with much. One we see is material blessings. Verse 15, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. In addition to material blessings, God promised to bless Zion with spiritual blessings. Verse 16, I will also clothe her priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So God promised them material blessings, spiritual blessings, and verse 17 reveals to us that he promised to bless Zion with kingdom blessings. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. And verse 18 promises that in addition to material blessings, spiritual blessings, and kingdom blessings, God will curse David's enemies. 18, his enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. And so as we think about Psalm 132, I think we can see some application here. We might think of Romans 15:4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We see there is something here for us to learn. One of those things, if we go back to verses 13 and 14, is that we notice that God desires a place to dwell in the heart of men. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. God desires to dwell in the hearts of men. Once we have experienced his salvation, we will desire to worship and follow him. Verses 7 through 9 again, let us go into his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and let your saints shout for joy. Lessons from the 132nd Psalm. Psalm 133 is one of the shortest of the Psalms, but it is certainly not lacking for truth. This is a psalm. The heading of it is the blessed unity of the people of God. It is a song of ascents, a psalm of David. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Most of us who have been a part of the body of Christ for a number of years have experienced periods of unity in the body as well as division in the body. What a joyous time our worship is when we as brethren are dwelling together in unity. I can remember times of discord and division to the point that my stomach was in knots before even arriving at the building for worship. Satan loves to use discord among brethren to disrupt unity. Unity is maintained when the Word is our standard and we conform our lives to it. The prophet Amos in chapter 3 and verse 3 said, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" God will not accept those who destroy the unity of the church. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 16, "These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies." And now notice in the latter part of verse 19, the last of these abominations to the Lord: "And one who sows discord among brethren." Jesus prayed for unity among his disciples, and we must make sure that we answer his prayer. In John chapter 17, beginning in verse 26, let us notice Jesus' desire for unity. John 17, beginning in verse 20, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these have known that you sent me, and I have declared them to your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them." Verse 2 in our text, talking about this unity, says that it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. Verse 2 is a fitting description of what it is like when brethren dwell together in unity. The precious oil is being used as an illustration of brothers dwelling together in unity. We might look back to Exodus chapter 30, verses beginning in 22, and it's speaking of that oil. "Moreover, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also take for yourself quality spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much sweet-smelling cinnamon, 250 shekels, 250 shekels of sweet-smelling cane, 500 shekels of cassia, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make from these a holy anointing oil, an ointment compounded according to the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. With it you shall anoint the tabernacle of meeting and the ark of the testimony, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the laver and its base. You shall consecrate them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them must be holy. And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister to me as priest. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, nor shall you make any other like it, according to its composition. It is holy, and it shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, or whoever puts any of it on an outsider, shall be cut off from his people. The oil used to anoint Aaron was holy anointing oil. The holy anointing oil was a mixture of 4 spices in oil. The spices were mixed together in olive oil. They were different spices mixed together to make a wonderful fragrance, a holy oil. What a beautiful picture of unity. It is a picture of very different people, yet people, though different, who are united. When these spices were mixed with oil, the oil became holy oil. It was not the oil that was holy, but the mixture. By themselves, the spices could not make a holy oil. God did not ask for 3 measurements of myrrh, but required 4 different spices. God could have used just 1 spice, but he did not do that. It is a great reminder for us that we need each other to provoke one another to love and good deeds, according to Hebrews 10:24. The body of Christ is made up of all types of people that come together as the church of Jesus Christ. He has mixed different spices together and called it the body of Christ, the church, Christians. Jesus calls us Christians in spite of all our different backgrounds to live in harmony and unity, for we are a family. The body of Christ is of all different spices, but we are one. I am reminded of Philemon and Onesimus, master and slave, but brothers in Christ. Verse 3 stated that it is like the dew of Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Finally, in verse 3, we are called upon to consider the descending dew of Hermon as an allegory of our unity. The anointing oil has brought to our minds the death of Christ. Remember Matthew chapter 26 and verse 12. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Here, the dew stands foremost as a symbol of resurrection, his and ours in the future, completing the cycle. Hermon is a range of three peaks, and they dominate the northern parts of Israel and are visible over the entire land. Because of its great height, Hermon is covered with snow most of the year. In late summer, this snow begins to melt. The runoff feeding reservoirs and supplies spring water to the thirsty lands of the south. Again, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity, the 133rd Psalm. Psalm 134. The heading of this one is Praising the Lord in His House at Night. It is a song of ascents. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Verse 1 said, Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. He's saying to behold, or basically, take notice of the Lord. Bless the Lord. Give thanks unto all the Lord, unto the Lord, all of you servants. Pray without ceasing. Do not overlook your duty to the Lord in the midst of all the distractions of life. We must not become as those who did not glorify God, even though they knew Him, according to Romans 1:21. Those were not thankful. He mentioned those that by night stand in the house of Jehovah. The temple was never left without its full contingent of Levites and priests. The company of pilgrims that arrived by night would have been welcome to the temple. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The lifting up of hands was a gesture associated with praying from the very earliest of times. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. In the Old Testament, the blessings of God were said to come out of Zion, and of course in the New Testament, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. This psalm is the end of the series of Psalms of Ascents. My friends, let us seek to live in unity with the brethren and live with thankfulness and praise toward our Father in heaven. We finished a little bit early this morning. We're glad that you've joined us. We hope that these little short psalms have packed a powerful punch for you today and made us ever more mindful of how we should understand that to live is Christ and to die is gain, as Paul said. To live with a song of thanksgiving in our heart, to live with a song of praise, as we live for the Master each day. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I hope that you will stay tuned. We'll have a few minutes of hymns this morning since we finished a little bit early. And then stay tuned for the programming throughout the rest of the day here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I remind you you're welcome to join us on Fridays at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time for studies in the Gospels. as we conduct an ongoing study of the life of Christ as found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Tomorrow, Brother Groda and Hendricks will be with you as they'll be picking up with Psalm 135. And if the Lord wills, I'll see you again next week at this same time here on Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. So long, and have a great day.